And there we are. What's up?
What's happening?
It's another beautiful Wheel Wednesday, and guess who is back by my side? My homie, my boss, the president of Koenig Wheels, the coolest.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's just a lot.
Scott is back. What's up, bro?
What's happening?
It's another day.
Just a lot.
A lot? Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah. You deserve a lot sometimes, man. Can I get a pound?
Thanks, I guess. What's happening, everybody? How are you? It's nice to be back.
You know,
for it's whatever we're doing here today.
Another live one.
Another live one.
And another riveting topic that we got going on right now.
Riveting.
Because it's riveting.
It is riveting.
You know? And it's actually it hits home because I have bought a car from this said company.
Well,
and I was a little worried for a second.
So look, I don't think we're talking about a car. Let's introduce this thing the right way.
Okay.
So we're talking about used car values, right? And so the issue here is that we went through probably one of the weirdest periods for used cars ever over the past few years. And now things are changing. Mm-hmm. And as things change, what's going to happen with used car values? What's going to happen with, you know, the availability of used cars? What's going to happen to some of these large conglomerates that sold used cars and had some strategies that may or may not have panned out during their this weird period? And what's going to happen with some of your favorite project cars?
Well, and another thing that I noticed, and this is from me doing my extensive research of maybe a few hours, I noticed the spike in differences between 2019 up to 2022. There was a huge uptick of used car sales, like insanely different from the other years.
So you needed to research for a few hours to figure this
yes,
out?
Yes, 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 I did.
That's not good.
Yeah, I know.
That's not good.
I know, well,
that's
know,
not good.
That's what happens, you know? But and the crazy thing is, within those years, I was one of the dorks that bought a used car.
Yeah.
So good for me.
Yeah, yeah. You got a good deal. So here's the thing. I think the hardest part as a person that's been really just a large enthusiast, and I don't mean large in size, although I am larger than size, but I also mean like somebody that's very avid, you know, in the enthusiast area.
Yeah.
Is that I haven't been able to get any cool project cars for like the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Because, look, here's the thing. I think if you're somebody that really buys and builds cars, there is this inherent value of what you think a project's worth in your head. And then you watch people inflate the pricing so dramatically and so exorbitantly.
Okay.
That you almost say, yeah, the hell with it. Like, I'm not going to buy this. This is a piece of crap. This is a clapped out piece of junk, and they want 10 grand for it.
Absolutely.
Now,
which is insane.
Right. With that said, though, I tried multiple times to overpay for a car during this period, too.
He actually has. And it's been pretty sad, his whole situation.
Never get one.
You know, we had to do this whole mafia thing when we rolled up on people, you know?
I mean, I don't know about we. I think I had to go by myself.
Well, you know.
But anyhow.
He told me the story, and I was like, eh.
Yeah. So bottom line is, you know, look, this has been a sad event. The other thing that's been pretty sad is that, you know, what exactly happened with this used car market? Why do we start overpaying for cars?
And that's
right?
That's why I wanted to get into it, because I know it bleeds onto the beginning of this whole thing when it comes to new cars. That's what's happening, right? It trickles down from the production of a new car to now it coming into market to now used cars and, you know, breaking it all down, all the way down to trickling to you.
Trying not to get karate chopped in the face.
Down to used cars and why they're becoming so expensive nowadays. Because, well, you break it down a little bit better than I did.
I don't know that we need to break it down. I mean, look, I mean, I think we all know. Let's do a synopsis.
Okay.
Let's do this quickly. Let's get you to where you need to be.
Okay.
Used car values. The pandemic caused. All right. So we were already teetering on the edge of the semiconductor issue, which is having enough microchips and semiconductors to be able to satisfy the amount of vehicles and different type of electronics that require these semiconductors.
Yeah.
The issue is that with every vehicle, the more options they throw into these cars, the more chips that they need. Mm-hmm. And when you're on the cusp of not having enough, and then all of a sudden you have supply chain shortages, sick outs, closures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of a sudden the supply gets tight. Now, a lot of these vehicles were, you know, the one thing that a lot of vehicle manufacturers do so well is their planning and their orchestration of parts arriving for the builds of those vehicles. I think, and don't quote me on this, but I believe this is correct. I believe there was a comment from General Motors at one point that says that they only hold about 2.5 days worth of inventory on the parts they need to build cars in the assembly plant. And so that gives you a real, if I'm right, that gives you a real idea of how perfect they have to be when ordering, forecasting, and organizing the production of said vehicles as they're going into to production. Because not every vehicle is going to have the same options, meaning that the amount of materials that are needed for every vehicle is going to depend on the build sheet and what they're intending to build for that period of time. So what ends up happening is they have a very short run of these supplies, and now they run short on things that allow them to continuously put the features that are purchased into these cars.
Mm-hmm.
So cars start to get delayed and get backed up. And then all of a sudden you get to the real bottom of the barrel of some of these cars as far as the chips that are needed for just starting the vehicle.
Yep.
Running your windshield wipers.
Yep.
Things like that.
Yep.
And what happens, they get to a point where they're forced to stop making vehicles, right? Yep. And so we got there. That happened. That was a global phenomenon. That was something that really plagued the automotive industry for months. And then things started to come back online. But even up until probably a few months ago, if you were to try and go buy a new vehicle, there were places that would sell you the vehicle at sticker with a very, very nominal fee.
Yep.
I know, because I looked at a pickup truck, and they literally had taken like $300 off. The car didn't have the heated seats that was on the sticker.
I remember that.
It didn't have a remote start that was on the sticker. It didn't have, I don't know, had a few other things. It just didn't have. And then they were like, oh, yeah, you know, we took off $50 for that. $50. I'm like, wait a minute. You pay for this stuff. It's thousands of dollars more. Why are you taking $50? Well, because when eventually this stuff becomes available, you're going to be able to bring your vehicle back in, and we're going to install it for that $50.
Yep.
I'm like,
yep.
Well, when is it coming? Well, we don't know. That's crazy.
So now that we get, you know, obviously we got into the nitty gritty of how this, you know, kind of started, let's just say, because we don't, you know, at the end of the day, we're just having a conversation here. Remember, we are not the experts.
No, we're experts. We're experts. Look, so then what happens is you run short on cars, right? There's no new cars.
Okay.
And there's no new cars, so what do you have to do? You go for a used car.
There you
go. Or a car that's better than yours.
There you go.
And all of a sudden, leases stop because the people that are in leases, the car that's better than theirs isn't available.
Yep.
So they keep what they have.
Okay.
Which stops the used car market from getting inventory, which means that now used cars, just like new cars, are unavailable.
Yep.
And when that happens, now there's a supply and demand issue. And when that happens, all of a sudden, the market corrects and used values become inflated because of the fact there's lack of inventory.
Now, what I try to break down is, for example, in 2020, when this spike happened,
mm-hmm.
what is your speculation to why exactly that happened? Why were people spending money, basically, in this spike?
I mean, look... You know, we say this is spending money. I think this has less to do with spending money.
Okay.
Right? Like you know, the prices didn't go up because people were spending money.
Mm-hmm.
The prices went up because there was no inventory of vehicles. And when you reduce the amount of inventory, supply and demand dictates that the price of something will increase.
Yep.
Right? That's what happened. So that's why vehicles became more expensive. I mean... There's really no other big explanation for it as vehicles start to become readily available, especially in the new side.
Yep.
And they filter into used vehicles and lease deals and stuff like that. All the pricing will begin to normalize and come back down. That's just what will happen, right? I think that there's the part that I think you're referring to is what happened that people were willing to pay
exactly
that's so what I mean. Far over yep. the pricing. But when we say that, I don't think we're talking about just the average used car, yep. right? We're talking about like how come some of these clapped out project cars were fetching so much money?
Yep.
And why were people willing to spend that money?
Yep.
And I think that there's a psychological thing that happened during the pandemic, which is you got a bunch of stimulus.
Yep.
Money was flowing out there. It felt like every time something would feel a little rough, there was more stimulus.
Yes.
And I think that when that happened, you had a lot of people fetching really top dollar for unemployment.
Yep.
Which led to a lot of people, and I don't mean this as you, but just hypothetically.
Yeah, just in general.
There was a general number of people yep. that really either were
I know what
taking
you're
taking advantage, not advantage, but falling into that area where they were
getting money from a different direction.
Leaning in like on yes. unemployment and what happened was they were giving a bonus, you know, kind of on top of your regular unemployment rate.
That's
which
right.
was giving some people more money than they traditionally made during a regular work week.
Yes.
So there was a level of stimulus that happened just from the nature of money being available to people that were able and now willing to spend money.
Yep.
So I think what happens is when you start looking at used vehicles, now it's like, oh, well, you know, like and people are charging more money and people are willing to pay it and they get very used to spending money.
Yep.
And as they get comfortable spending money, when the money dries, it takes a little bit of a psychological break before you go, oh, wait a minute. There's no more money coming in.
Yep.
I can't spend. I don't have it.
That's right.
So I think that that really works in that bottom up, you know, effect. And when that happens, you've seen people spend more money on cars than I think some of these cars are worth.
So and now just to talk about what's going on with Carvana. Now, there's many factors as to why Carvana is going bankrupt. But
hold on 1 second. They're not going bankrupt.
No. Yeah.
There's fears.
Well, yes. Well, that yes. The point is they're possibly going bankrupt.
Right.
There's a big margin that they will, but obviously they might. Basically, that's what I'm trying to say. But the point is the reason to break down why this is happening is partly to do with what's going on in the used car market. You know, basically that played a big factor into what exactly is going on and the reason why they're going bankrupt. Part of it. Obviously, there's other things involved, like, you know, this is not to point any finger because at the end of the day, we're just talking here, but like shady business practices, they obviously overspent money. There's a lot of overhead that played into their own demise, let's just say.
Yeah, but I don't know that I would say shady business practices, right?
Well, I mean, one of the articles that I read is they fired 2,500 employees on a Zoom call. Like okay, things so, like this. That
how is that shady? How is that a shady business practice?
Are you firing 2,500 employees off a Zoom call? That's shady to me.
Shady.
Closing. Listen, they also closed down an inspection center.
Hold on a second. We're not talking. Look, ethically, is it the right thing to do? No, of course not. Is it a bad business practice? No, you got to do layoffs. You got to do layoffs. I mean, like, do I think it's nice? Is that like, you know what I mean? But yeah. But like a bad business practice would be taking somebody's money and not honoring the purchase, or saying you have a warranty and then not honoring the warranty.
Well, they also have open cases on,
yeah, of course,
you know, states and stuff like that. Yeah. They have lost their licenses in certain states as well as to sell and stuff. These are accumulating things that basically led to this. That's what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
I think so. But more than anything, you know, because I've seen this comment before. People talking about, it's the model. The model would never stand up.
Yeah.
To be able to buy a car over the phone or on the internet, this model is junk. I disagree with that. People that say, it's because of this, or it's because of that. In my opinion, the major blow, I don't want to use their names, but some of these major used car conglomerates, right? These dealers, they just made bad business decisions.
Exactly. Yeah.
They went into an area where cars were at a record high in value.
Yep.
And cars were at a record low in availability. And they said, hey, we need to have all the used cars. Because if we have all the used cars, we'll have all the sales.
Exactly.
And if we have all the sales,
yep,
then we will be the people that are looking on the up and up. However, I think time and history could have told you that regardless, whenever you have spikes like this, they're generally not long-lived.
Yep.
Meaning that things will normalize. How long it takes, well, that's part of business.
Yes.
And if, you know, they could have been right if they were really forecasting the next few years this being a problem. I personally don't think that, I just think this was a poor insight. I believe that if I was standing... Yeah, I'm not saying I'm so much smarter than
crew. No, this
like
is
if I'm standing at the top of the pyramid and they're like offering some of the money that they were offering for some of these vehicles, I would have been like, "Hold on one second."
Yes, exactly.
What do we do if the market self corrects?
Yep.
Cuz we're going to be heavy on inventory of in dollars and we're not going to be able to get the money out. And I'm sure that there was people there, you know, bean crunchers or whatever it was, that were standing on a podium saying, yes, but with the infrastructure we have, if we do not buy all these cars, we will not have enough cash flow to stay in business.
Yep.
That right there is, to me, the absolute major problem with what happened to some of these companies and why they got in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they needed the cash flow to be able to continue to exist, but they were buying inventory at prices that were going to come down. It was just a question of when. So either they were going to hurry up and sell everything, which I don't believe is possible, especially since money started to tighten up and people had trouble with lending situations.
Yep.
I think the final nail in the coffin was when the Fed really increased the interest rate dramatically, because now you made lending tight. And when you make lending tight, people can't get financing. And now all of a sudden, buying a used car is much more difficult than ever before.
Yeah.
So I think they just put themselves in really bad business situations by taking too much of an aggressive stance on their purchasing. But, you know, say sera sera. And it is what it is.
And inevitably, that's part of business, right? Sometimes you fail.
Sometimes you
put too much money on yourself, and then it ends up the other direction. It's just part of the game. But
sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
There you go.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Here's a question for you. Do you think, you know, and I say this, you purchased the car.
Yes.
Now, do you think that the model is the problem? Do you think that the model is no good?
So now, for me, my experience, you know, with this, I've actually talked about it on this before, on the podcast before. I had a very, very good buying experience with Carvana, you know, but this is specific to me, myself. And obviously, the one thing that I had to look in when this was going on is if I'm protected. Obviously, I'm protected. The law protects my purchase and whatnot and all that. So nothing changes for me.
But as far as like as far as a lemon law?
Exactly. Yeah. So like right now but anyways, going back to the conversation, I think the business model was great. You know.
Yeah, and I think that everybody saying there's something wrong with the business model is not even close to being accurate. In fact, I would point, this is how much I would point that the model is good, is that many of the big three and some of the bigger car companies have adopted a very similar model in their new car sales.
Yes.
This is not the model is not to blame here.
Yeah.
Right. I think, you know, and when we talk about, you know, like Max just put up this thing and says, can the Carvana retail model survive? I mean, I agree with these experts. I don't know who they are, but I'm now. Well, did you know that, like, you to be an expert, I think all you have to do is say you're an expert.
Well, and I'm now, an expert today. Talking about marketing wise, yeah. Do I think Carvana is an attractive, well put together machine when it comes to, you know, there's only a few people you go to when you're trying to buy a used car, and this is one of the options that you look at. I'm gonna be real. That's the reason why I went for convenience in this situation. I do not like going to dealers. The reason why is sometimes a dealer could be very shady. It's depending on who you're buying from.
Pressure. You're not a guy, like, knowing you for a long time. You're not a guy that really thrives under confrontation.
No, it's true. It's very true.
So when we start talking about the car model, I'll tell you a company that was before its time. Maybe arguably didn't make the best car. But the company that was before its time was Saturn. Mm-hmm. If you go back with Saturn's history, they were a no-haggle car company. In other words, whatever the price was on the car, that's what it was.
Yeah.
There was no negotiating. And I think that when you start to look at some of these online retailers and some of the ways that some of these car companies are now starting to think, they're saying, hey, look, this is the price what it is for the car.
Yep.
Now, what's interesting about this is that just forgot his last name. Jim Farley. That's the president and the CEO of Ford. Mm-hmm. He basically had a call with a lot of their different shareholders, and one of the things they were talking about has how he really wants to push. He had a call with a lot of the big dealerships that there, and he's trying to basically push them into adapting a non-negotiating. Policy, very similar to what Tesla has. Like, this is the price of the car. This is how much. This is how it works out. And I think that there's some merit in that. I think that, you know, for the majority of car buyers, this will be a step that will, like, incredibly improve the buying process. That will make buying a car less stressful. You know, to this point, when you went to go buy a new car, even a used car, you know, the haggling that had to happen and the frustration, the aggravation, be at the dealership for 6 hours. To what? Yes. To buy a car?
Check the pricing. It's a whole thing.
How many
thing
times that... you have to walk back and forth to your manager's office? We know you're... Get out of here with that.
They're over there doodling, you know?
You know what I mean? Like, get out of here with that. So I think that there's a lot of companies. I think, first off, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think Ford is one of the smarter companies that's on the horizon now. They're doing a lot of great things. They're really doing a great job for putting things into focus, and trying to get the end goal of the consumer kind of taken care of. They're going to move a very traditional large automotive manufacturer into the future, and I think they're going to do it very well. The question is that with all this stuff, what's going to happen with car prices?
So, this is, you know, well, first and foremost, when we're talking about Carvana sales, there's two options that can happen here. You know, either a bigger company could buy this model, buy Carvana, you know, and take that model and you know, restructure how everything works there, or they liquidate and all these used cars go back into the market. You know,
I take it from your research that you've read those opinions.
Read, listened to all the, I just, you know, obviously I tried to do this research on the simple fact that I don't want to just get one specific.
And the reason I'm asking you that, mm-hmm, is I feel that there's another pathway that you haven't mentioned.
Okay.
I think there's a strong likelihood that they're not going to go out of business.
I can see that.
That they're going to go bankrupt.
Yep.
They are going to, you know, liquidate some things, mm-hmm, and they're just going to restructure.
Yep.
And I think that the restructuring to reduce overhead and kind of be able to be to have certain debts forgiven,
yep,
may bring them into a place where they probably should have been before. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand the perspective that they could say that, you know, a Carvana. First off, I don't think anybody's going to buy them. Let me put it like that. So if they really do go that direction, I think that they go down in a ball of flames.
Okay.
I mean, the only person I think that could buy Carvana, and I don't know that they have the cash flow to do so, would be like a CarMax.
Yes, I was thinking CarMax.
You know, with that said, I think that they have a long road ahead of them.
Yep.
And I think that it's going to be a situation where companies like Carvana are going to really rethink some of the structure and kind of how they do business, yep. Right? But I don't know that I think they go away. And I do think that if they liquidate, I don't know that it's going to be enough to throw car, you know, to throw cars into the used car market to, and that can be really the major thing that affects the car market. It's just because even if they let all those used cars in there, they're not just going to give it up for a dollar.
Yep.
Right? Like, these cars still cost them more money than they're probably worth. So their liquidation, you know, to an extent, you know, to develop cash flow, it's going to only be the amount that they need to let go to develop that cash flow. So yep. I don't know.
Well, and like I said, due to, you know, this is all research that I've looked up, is in the next few months, it's speculation that inevitably prices have to drop. You know what I mean?
Well, just, they are.
Yes, they are already dropping.
They are.
Yes, yes, yes. But inevitably, like, getting to the point where it's really in the consumer's hand at this point. Basically, we're going to be able to dictate when we go to a dealer what exactly that price looks like. Now, obviously not a crazy amount, but something to where you're able to sell what these dealerships, what these distributors, are trying to do is just sell their product. And at the end of the day, they have to let it go or eat that. Eat the price, eat it, and hold the inventory until they feel it's best to sell it at the price that they have it at.
Well, look, I mean, I what you're describing is a very classic and typical supply and demand thing, but yep. I don't think we're there yet. I think you're going to see prices recede. I think the thing that's going to keep prices from really receding and the buyers to have that upper edge that you're talking about mm-hmm. is, I mean, obviously there's still supply that's dragging a little bit.
Yep.
But the next, I mean, there's still like not cars and lots.
Yep.
There's still not, I mean, there's not a lot of inventory. So that still is going to keep prices there. I think what's happening is you're watching consumer spending because of a you know, kind of downward turning economy, create a situation where people are not able to, they're not looking to purchase a new car. If they got a car, they're trying to keep it ready. They're going to, you know, I think used auto parts are going to really see some benefit in the next, you know, year, you know, 12, 18, 24 months. I think right now what's keeping everything from really having a substantial advantage to like what you were talking about is going to be the interest rate, and it's going to be the economy itself, because yep. people, banks are tight on lending.
Yep.
Interest rates are higher than many have experienced in, I mean, 10, 12 years.
Yep.
And because of that, it's going to be a struggle for some people to get
a loan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the fact is, a car that maybe would cost you $200 a month, you know,
yeah,
four years ago, now is going to cost you $330-something
a month. You feel me?
So you know, it's more expensive. And so I think you're going to see a lot of people that are going to cling to what they have.
Yeah.
Which is not going to do anything for the used car market in its whole. Mm-hmm. And I think that new cars still have a long way to go before the lots are packed and dealers are struggling just to give them away.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So you got a little bit of time there. I think that I say this, the reason I start seeing things come down is go to Facebook Marketplace, pick one type of car you like. MR2 Spiders, MR2s, Corvettes, Z06s, I don't know, whatever it is. Go in there, look at it, find one. I guarantee by right now you're going to find one that has the price crossed out, as in yep. they already lowered
yep.
it.
Yep.
And then follow that, save a couple of those cars, and you're going to watch that price continue to go down, because the end of the day, it has nothing to do about the value. It has everything to do with what somebody's willing to pay for it.
Yep.
And you're going to see some of these cars basically go, yeah, it's a lot of money for that car.
A lot of money.
I mean,
my man's going to keep that car for a while.
It's driven 193,000. I mean, yes, it's got an interesting wide body kit on it, but
good luck, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, no, listen, I mean, good, more power to him. Was, you know, I if, you know, because that is an, I mean, it's a nice kit. Looks like the body work is pretty decent, but it's got 193,000 miles. He wants $22,000. I mean, you know,
and inevitably, some like,
of that logic has but, to play.
And inevitably, you know, at this time right now, this is like the worst time to buy cars. Obviously, it's not the season for it. Once tax season starts rolling around in spring and stuff like that, you start to see things change.
Yeah,
I mean,
but, you know, I will say the end of the year for car dealers is usually where they
do like
to clear
holiday
sales.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they say all like the end of August and I think end of August and October are supposed to be like your prime deal making.
Yeah, well, and like, you know, once tax season, that's when anybody wants to just purchase things just because they got some extra money rolling in and stuff like that. So
I want to purchase things. I just don't have any money rolling in.
That's when we're going to be able to determine what this looks like. And I'm excited. And why does that matter to us here? It's just because a lot of us here have buy project cars. We want to fix cars. And that's a big deal for us. And
yeah, and a lot of you do out there as well. I mean, look, we've all been in that struggle where we go to buy a car. I mean, look, let me be honest. I love 350Zs. Your 145,000-mile... you know, enthusiast package 350Z with the torn seats. I mean, it's not worth $12,000.
Yeah. Sorry, bro.
So throw that out there.
There you go.
You know? So that's a deal. Yeah. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, what else do you want to talk about with used cars?
Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, I think we got down to the nitty gritty of it at the end of the day. It's just kind of one of those things that's happening in the automotive world. I found it very fascinating what's going on with Carvana simply for the fact that I have a Carvana car. You know,
let me ask you a question. When you bought your Carvana car, did they give you a a warranty? Like, did they come with their own Carvana warranty?
Yes, they do.
What is it?
I can't remember, honestly.
Is it like a year or is it
yeah,
like
something
a few
like that.
Months?
No. It's like a few months, I believe. I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
I wonder what happens if you buy a Carvana car and then all of a sudden they go away. Yeah, right. Let's see. When you purchase a car from Carvana, I hate that we use their brand so much. Let's see. Complimentary 100
couple
day.
Months.
All right, it's a good 100 days. It's not a really big deal.
And they give you like a week's time to like try it out and stuff like that. And if you don't like it, you know, you could always return it or exchange.
I wonder how many times you are allowed to return a vehicle.
Yeah, I'm going to be real, man. I had a real, like, that's why it's kind of sad to me in a sense, because I really had a really fun buying experience with this. Do I feel like I overpaid for the car? Yeah. But at the end of the day, the experience for me, see, that's the thing. The experience for me was worth the money in a sense. Like, I know if I would have went to a car dealership, I probably would have spent way more money and had way more of a overhead when it comes to the car. And it just was the convenience of it. It's knowing that this is what I'm paying. This is what I'm doing. You're not trying to sell me an upgrade. You're not trying to get me to another car. No, this is what I wanted. And that's what it ended up being. You know, so there was a convenience in that. And I think that model, I hope, continues to exist. I hope that, you know, wherever it goes, that it prospers, because I really believe that that's the future of purchasing cars that way.
Yeah, you know? I don't disagree. I think there's a disconnect. I mean, I think that you're going to watch a lot of manufacturers go in this direction, but, you know,
100%.
Kind of a hybrid between what Tesla did and what's kind of happening. But you're going to start to see dealerships become smaller storefronts that have, let's say, one model of each vehicle on the lot.
Yeah.
And you're going to go there and you're going to be either test drive it or look at it or see it or whatever you want to do. And then you're going to be able to either build your vehicle or they're going to show you the inventory that they have. And they're going to, if you want it, you're going to leave your deposit. They're going to bring it into the dealership or whatever it may be. You'll be able to either pick it up there or have it delivered right to your house.
Yep.
And then, you know, you'll have to, if it's good, you sign on the dotted line and, you know, you're done.
Yeah.
I think that's, what does it say?
Ford CEO
wants the haggling. Yeah, electric car sales.
Yes.
I mean, look, it's just the nature of what it is. I think you're going to start to see that all over the place. And I think that is a model that we will look at next. I think dealerships will slowly become a purchase and logistics spot. And then there'll be select ones that will be the repair shops.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that direction, you know, new cars are going are interesting. I think the direction of used cars that they're going is going to, it's going to come down. But, you know, I mean, we still got a little bit of time for it to really feel like that.
Well, and like I said, in the next few months, we'll be able to determine that. You know, a lot of people are saying different things.
I don't think you're going to see it in the next few months. I think you're going to start to see people not be able to sell their cars in the next few months. And then the initial step, which is people like you, like I said before, they're going to keep going down because they're going to want to get rid of the car.
Yep.
And they're not going to be able to, and they're going to keep going down and down and down and down and to the point where somebody wants to buy it. I mean, the truth is, look, if you have a 30-year-old car and you're asking $20,000+, you have to find a buyer that is willing to spend the money in cash out of their bank account. That takes a really unique person.
Yeah.
Because most of the banks won't lend to a car that's older than 7 years.
Yep, yep.
So, like, if you're going to ask, if you're going to have a 15-year-old car and ask, you know, a substantial amount of money, then you're going to have to find a buyer that's able to pay and write a check for that right out of their bank account.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, I mean, I think the one of the facts that I had heard once before is that the majority of Americans, if there was an emergency, can't come up with like $1,000.
Yeah.
So that doesn't put you in a prime real estate to be able to buy a car.
So here's a question. It's
weird thing.
This is about, like, okay, so let's say right now,
yeah,
the Carvana stock is down to under $4, where last year it was $360 per stock. Can you believe that? Right? Isn't that crazy?
Is it down? Is that much?
It's down that much.
Wow.
Like, would you purchase?
So first off, well, it's like, well, there you go. Now, I don't now, think
is that live? Is that real?
That's
time?
That's one day. Max, hit the 5-year. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right. So first off, I don't give financial advice. I think it's a bad idea for me to do so. And second, just full disclosure, I have bought some stock and I don't do very well on it.
Look at CarMax killing the game. That's not bad.
So that's number one. Number two, I think it is entirely too early to bet on them, and I still think that they're just, you know, from a cash flow and financial position, I just don't think they're there yet. Now, does this stock present itself with a very extremely high risk, high reward situation? Of course, like, they're $5 a share. If they get their stuff together and even get back to $20, you know, you would have had almost a 4-time return.
Yeah, yeah.
On, you know, on your money. So, I mean, hey, listen, if you got the stones for it and the extra cash, more power to you.
Set the stones.
I don't know that that's my go-to stock right now. But I do think that if you like playing the lottery and you have $500,
yeah,
you know, picking up a hundred shares of Carvana just to roll the dice and say, hey, if she goes up, killing the game, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Russian roulette, you know what I mean?
You know, I'm not Jim Cramer, so I can't help you too much. Don't listen to any of my crap.
All right, with that said,
don't.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us on another beautiful Wheel Wednesday podcast. Mm. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Also, if you're in here or if you're, you know, yeah, going to be in here, whatever, because you're not live and you just decided to watch it later on, and you want to hear a specific topic, you want to hear us talk about a specific topic, drop it in the comments. We want to hear about it. Drop comments, by the way, also. Just maybe we'll respond to you. Maybe we'll say something to you. Maybe we'll say hello. Maybe we'll talk about it the next time we're on this podcast live.
He's got a lot going on there. He's got a lot going there. I was just going to ask you to subscribe. That would be great, too.
Subscribe.
Tell your friends. I mean, there's some giveaways going on.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
But no, go ahead.
I was just going to say.
No, I want you to go first.
So next Wednesday, we're actually doing a giveaway. It's that type of season. It's that time. It's, you know, the holly jolly Christmas time, you know? So we decided to give away a CCD Max kit. If you don't know what the CCD Max kit is, it is our rendition of a wheel ceramic coating kit. And basically, this is to keep your car, your wheels nice, shiny, looking good, as well as protected.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to keep it real.
Keeping it real.
When they told me they were giving away one of these kits, I said, I don't think it's the time of year I would do that. But what I will say is this is a really nice kit. And yes, if you were thinking about trying to protect your wheels for the season, and if you were thinking about picking up a new set of wheels, and this is a good kit to get. We sourced this kit from one of the best in the detailing game.
Yep.
And what we did was we sourced everything you need to ceramic coat your wheels into this kit. For $84, we sell it on our website. And the kit has a large bottle, a 30 milliliter bottle of the CCD Max, which is ceramic coating. It will allow you to do smaller wheels 2 times, which gives you a few years of protection. And it allows you to do a larger set, you know, one with plenty to spare. In addition to that, you get a bottle of panel wipe, which you usually would have to buy separately.
Yep.
That's a prep that you would need to be able to get the wheel cleaned off and prepare the wheel for a ceramic coat. You get a silky applicator, not one of those cotton thingies, so that's cool. And you also get 2 microfiber cloths that come with it, so you can apply it and then work the product off to smooth out the product highs and lows. So you get all that in this kit. You also get a commemorative coning tin. We say it's commemorative because we only made them for
just specifically this
kit.
For this.
So if you don't get a kit, you don't get a tin.
And I'm not saying this just to say it. There's literally a limited supply of these. And I know we sound like an infomercial.
No, right now there are. I mean,
we have
yet to determine whether we're going to continue to offer these, but right now we do have them available, and it's a really nice kit. And if you go price everything out, you'll see that you could buy ceramic coating itself or panel wipe, but when you start to put all this stuff together, the price gets up there, and this is a pretty dope kit. This is a good time for a giveaway for it.
In case you're not going to purchase these right away, you can actually win one next week, Wednesday, right here live at 3 p.m. We're giving away a ceramic coating kit, and the only way that you can be entered to win this ceramic coating kit is to be subscribed. So make sure you're subscribed. And we'll see you guys next Wednesday.
Man, the holidays are coming quick. I mean, it's starting to smell more and more like evergreens and unicorns in here.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
We have to go right now.
I don't even know how the lyrics go.
Talk to my hair.